Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to continue our series on Native Americans serving in the military, check in with Civil Air Patrol in Minnesota, and visit with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Thanksgiving Day is positioned at the end of the harvest season. It is an annual federal holiday meant to express thanks for one's material and spiritual possessions. In fact, this tradition started during the Civil War in 1863 when President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed, and I quote, "A national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." The event that some Americans commonly call the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the Pilgrims to give thanks to God for guiding them safely to the New World. That first Thanksgiving lasted 3 days and was shared between Pilgrims and Native Americans. While I truly enjoy turkey and a day with my family, I don't know if a three-day festival is in the cards for most families. The BlackBerry doesn't stop buzzing, the emails keep coming, and needs of the family and home creep up. And now the holiday season is upon us, and there is so much to do. They say that of all the holidays on the American calendar, Thanksgiving and Christmas are the ones with the most connection to family. I encourage you to make that true for your family. Make a commitment to put them first during this holiday season. President Abraham Lincoln was on to something. Let's all try to give a little thanks and praise.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Last summer, we were able to travel to Cloquet, Minnesota, to go to the Fond du Lac Veterans Powwow. And we were up there with the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. And while we were up there, we had the opportunity to interview a former Minnesota Army National Guard Native American, and his name is Anthony Pike. And here's part of that interview now.
We're recording from the Fond du Lac Veterans Powwow up in Sawyer, Minnesota. And joining us now is Anthony Pike. Anthony, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anthony, I understand you're a member of the of a different tribe?
Yep, I am. I'm a tribal member from the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, which is central Minnesota, west side of Lake Mille Lacs.
Down by Garrison.
Correct. You are correct.
We used to have a Boy Scout camp up there when I was growing up. Now, tell us, when did you decide to join the military?
A week after I turned 17, I actually talked my mom into signing a paper, so I actually went in a little bit early.
Was she a little nervous about that?
Yeah. Of course.
Didn't want you to run away to the military.
Nope. But you know what? It was one of the best things that I could do. I grew up South Minneapolis, kind of a rough neighborhood. Started getting into, I guess you can say, a little bit of trouble. So I'm like, it's either, you know, continue down this road or join the military and, you know, completely change my life. And that's exactly what it did.
And what organization did you join?
Then, actually, when I joined, I think this guy might know it's the 47th.
Yeah.
Is when I first joined.
And I guess you liked being in the service because you stayed for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I did 22 and a half years, retired about 5 years ago, roughly 5 or 6 years ago when I came back. So
that all was a good decision?
Actually, you know what? I don't miss the military. I miss the guys that are there. But I do get a chance to see them every few months or so. I do, you know, connect back with them. I mean, it's just that strong brotherhood. I guess when you're deployed, you get this little connection that a lot of people don't know about. And it's the military stuff I don't miss. The guys I do.
Well, if you've gone to war, if you've been deployed anywhere, you know you have to rely on each other to take care of each other. And you do form a band like we did in Vietnam, and I'm sure like you did for your many years that you served. Now, you said you were in the Army National Guard as well?
Yep. Yes, I was with the 47th back then. Then we switched over to the 34th Military Police Company, and that's where I pretty much did my full 22 years.
So you had a pretty good time doing that?
Yeah, a lot of state deployments, overseas deployments, regular deployments. Yeah, the 1 week in a month and 2 weeks a year, that was, no, completely changed, yeah. I was also on my deployment to Basra, Iraq, was before I retired.
Are you completely retired now, or found another vocation?
Nope, I'm completely retired.
Congratulations. Now, what brings you up here from Mille Lacs?
We're actually pretty close-knit with the Fond du Lac Veterans Group. I also run a veterans group back in Mille Lacs, so we're a pretty close-knit community. So when they have events going on, they invite us down. And then when our traditional powwow, which is coming up the third weekend in August, Fond du Lac veterans come up and, you know, help support our powwow also.
Well, I see a lot of campers and RVs up here. Is this a multi-day event?
Yeah, 3 days. We'll be done sometime tomorrow evening. And no, I'm not camping. I have a hotel room at the casino.
You're doing my kind of camping, Anthony.
Exactly.
My kind of camping. Now, we just watched the ceremony. Can you tell us what that was all about?
Grand entry is pretty much the start of the session of the powwow. If you notice, the first ones that are in are always veterans. You got your Eagle Staff carriers. Eagle Staff carriers come from many different locations. Eagle Staff carriers are usually a combat veteran that usually get given those. And then...
So that's an honor for them to go first?
That is, yep. I usually carry a flag, an Eagle Staff, but we didn't bring that up with us, so I just carried in the U.S. flag. But a lot of the carriers out there are actually veterans, so those are your first ones. And they always, every powwow, beginning of every powwow, they always honor veterans.
So this was the opening ceremony then?
Yep. Well, today was the opening for today's session, yep.
And what all happens over the next couple of today and tomorrow?
Right now they're doing like intertribals where just everybody comes out and dances. You don't have to be in regalia. I mean, even when we're done here, I can even take you out. We can go shake a leg.
Don't think I can dance, Anthony. But thanks for the offer.
There's just a bunch of different events. They have specials going on, which are, you know, just certain categories, certain people that dance and prize money. I heard they have like a world tug of war contest going on at some point. And so I know today at, I think 5 o'clock, they're doing a big feed, like a feast for the veterans here.
So. Well, this all looks like a great gathering. There's husbands, wives, children, grandparents, everybody's here. Now, I've got a question for you. It's my understanding that from the general population in the United States, less than 1% of our people serve in the military these days. But they tell me, the tribal veteran service officers tell me, that among Native Americans, up to 25% sign up and join. Can you explain that to me?
We are the highest. It's just, I've been asked that quite a few times, and it's getting this recognition here. When you come back, it's an honor. It's kind of instilled in Native Americans to serve in war, in a war type. So I think that's the big thing right there.
Well, it certainly looks like all of the people here in the Indian community, the tribal community, are into this, and they're looking upon all the veterans very, very honorably, and it's a warm place, and it looks like a great powwow.
It is. It's actually a really good turnout. The weather last night was a little iffy, but today's weather's perfect. Perfect day for a powwow.
Anthony, we're just about out of time. What would you tell the young people today if they ask you if they should serve in the military?
Do it. The funding for the schooling, that was one of the big reasons I went in, was the college funds. So that's one of the biggest things right there. And then when you're young, you actually, it'll help you grow. It'll help you grow and learn, and this brotherhood that I've got with, you know, quite a few people that are actually still in. This brotherhood is just, you can't explain it.
And you meet and you keep a lot of good friends over all those years, don't you?
Yes, for sure.
Kind of fun to see the Adjutant General up here today, wasn't it?
Actually, I kind of made him tear up. I kind of gave him a... showed him my tattoo. We lost three soldiers when we were in. I was actually served in Brazos with General Nash, and I actually showed him the three names of Wilcox, Wordish, and Drevenick, and they actually teared up because those dates are coming up, 16th and 17th of this month. So it's a pretty hard time for he knows me, and then the look on his face when he teared up, he knows it's going to be that tough time again. None of these three guys will ever be forgotten.
We're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the powwow or about your service?
If you ever get a chance to make it out to one of these gatherings, let it be this one type of a traditional or even a competition, if you can get there, try to get there for a grand entry and experience this amazing portion of this. That's pretty much it.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Anthony Pike at the Fond du Lac Veterans Powwow from Cloquet last summer. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk to another member of the Minnesota Army National Guard who is also a Native American. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. As I said earlier on today's show, we're continuing our series on our Native Americans serving in the military. And joining me now is Sergeant First Class Lowell Laudert from the Minnesota Army National Guard. And Sergeant Laudert, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Buju.
And I assume that means
hello. Well,
hello.
Yes.
In
Ojibwe.
Ojibwe. Very good. Could you say that again?
Buju.
Buju. All right. Very good. I want to start a little bit with your background. I understand that you are part of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation, one of the bands in the Minnesota Chippewa tribe.
That's correct.
So where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in Monticello, Minnesota, off-reservation.
Off-reservation. Did you spend some time on the reservation while you were growing up?
Absolutely. Lots of time.
And can you speak Ojibwe well?
No, I wouldn't say well, no. Just a little bit.
Just enough so you understand your grandparents and parents maybe sometimes?
Yep, usually an introduction, and then the more I try to communicate with my grandmother in Ojibwe, the more she does in English.
So, but it all worked out, didn't it?
Yep.
All right, and when did you first start thinking about joining the military?
I actually joined originally at the age of 17, a split option back in 1993, and then I did take about a 10-year break in service and worked on my civilian career for a while, started raising my family, and then after 9/11 is when I got back in.
Now, we've heard from interviewing some of your fellow Native Americans this month that Native Americans serve almost at the rate of 25%, as opposed to about 1% of the general population. And I think that that's directly related to the culture and the way you were brought up. Is that true?
I believe it is. What I've said in the past to people is we were your first citizen soldiers. We were hunters, fishers, gatherers, also protectors. We kind of just did it all. It's just part of who we are. It's our culture. I also tell people, too, that I think one of the other reasons we do that as well is we're a nation inside a nation. We need to protect what we have. This is, after all, my grandparents' land, too.
Well, we all know you were here first, and we've heard, you heard part of the interview with Anthony Pike that we did in the first segment. As we were able to join the Veterans Powwow up in Cloquet last summer. And I was just thoroughly impressed with the whole ceremony and the way they treat the Native American veterans. And that's really a deep part of the culture as well, isn't it?
It sure is. You always start a powwow like that. You always bring in the veterans first, come in with the Eagle Staff. It's always a great honor. I mean, the Eagle Staff and the Eagle Feather, that's as far back as memory goes.
So that's what they refer to as the grand entry.
Correct.
And there was a regular powwow grounds all laid out with some bleachers and kind of a center area where some of the must have been tribal elders were making announcements and speaking. And, of course, I don't speak Ojibwe, so I didn't know exactly what was going on. But it was really an impressive event.
Yep, everyone I've been to.
And that's something that most of the tribal members or band members go to?
I suppose it's different for every reservation or every part of the country, but it is an opportunity for the tribes to come together. And part of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe is we are six separate bands. And a lot of people don't understand that we're still under one umbrella. So when we do these joint powwows like that, we're actually coming together more as a tribe and less as a reservation.
So that's where the trucks and the campers and all the rest of them, because they came from the other bands.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, it was a great gathering, and it was an opportunity for the Adjutant General to go up and say hello. And of course, they put him on tribal radio up there and interviewed him. And I want to tell you just a little story. When we were leaving, we flew up by Black Hawk helicopter, and the powwow grounds up there are on the south end of a lake. I don't know if you've been to them or not. But when we left and went back on the helicopter, the Adjutant General directed the pilot to go back over and fly in to the parade ground. So he flew in over the lake. And when he's coming in over the lake, they came in low over the parade grounds, and he dipped the nose of the chopper, and then off we went. And that was his salute to the veterans powwow at Cloquet, and it was really neat to see.
That sounds very cool.
And a big sign of respect from
absolutely. I'm sure everybody there appreciated it. If you could hurt him on the ground, I'm sure there was hoots and hollers.
From the top general in Minnesota.
Yep.
That was pretty fun to experience and be a part of. We're speaking with Lowell Lautert, who's a Sergeant First Class in the Minnesota Army National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, I understand that you're part of the American Indian Diversity Council and Service within the Minnesota Army National Guard. Can you tell us what that is about?
Well, that's, as you mentioned, General Nash, that's one of his directive, one of the TAIG's priorities is diversity in the workplace. So what they've done is they've set up different special emphasis councils, Native American being one of them, and me, along with two other guys, and we're always trying to expand. We took part of it for the Native Americans. So part of it's to diversify, and the other part of that is inclusion. So as we diversify the force, we also want to try to make sure everybody feels included.
So we've heard the Adjutant General talk for years now about diversity in the force to try to make the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard look like the population and diversity-wise over the course of Minnesota, and I think he's done a pretty good job of that. But once you bring them all in, then the second part's pretty important when you're talking about inclusion.
Absolutely, especially, it gets a little, I don't want to say challenging for Native Americans, but as Native Americans, we do come from different reservations, different tribes, different parts of the state. We're not just bringing in whiter traditions or Ojibwe traditions. We're bringing in traditions from all kinds of different tribes. And if we can understand how we operate people to people, I think we can become better leaders. And then at the same time, that should help with retention and everything else.
Now, Sergeant Lodger, it's been over four decades since I've been in the military. And we had the draft back then. And of course, we had some people that were drafted and not very pleased about serving in the military, especially in Vietnam. But what I've witnessed the last 6 years is with the all-volunteer force, everybody that belongs is a member of the Minnesota Army or Air National Guard really wants to be there, number one. And number two, when you interact with all the other soldiers, you're a Sergeant First Class. You're not white or red or brown or black. Is that what you've experienced in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Absolutely. That's what I've experienced. And it goes past race, too. It goes gender, religion, and everything else. So that's the great, I call it a kind of a great equalizer in the military. We always say we're all green.
And you're either an officer or a warrant officer or an NCO or right. Enlisted person. And you all pull together to get the job done. And whoever's sitting next to you is just one of your brothers in arms.
Yep, just as important as the next person.
So we've really made some progress over the last few decades, haven't we?
I believe so.
Now, can you tell us, what do you do with the Minnesota Army? What's your position now?
Well, it's kind of twofold. So I'm active guard reserve. So my full-time Monday through Friday job, I'm a readiness NCO. So I take care of all the day-to-day operations for the unit. I have an admin NCO that works for me or reports to me, along with a training NCO and a supply NCO. And what we do all month long is just try to take care of soldiers and at the same time prepare the unit for training that month or different mission sets. My military job on the deployment side is on military intelligence.
Okay, and you're part of the 34th Infantry Division then?
Absolutely, Bravo Company.
Okay, so that's interesting. There's an aspect we haven't talked about too much before, but your full-time job is to make sure that when all the soldiers come in for that one weekend a month, that they get the best training possible in case they're called up or called to duty either on the state mission, which is to help with floods and fires and those things, or called to active duty and asked to deploy on the federal mission.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty important to make sure that you can get as much out of those weekends as possible, isn't it?
I think so. And putting forth good training, you need a ready, competent, ready force. Another thing the General Nash states. But you also, if you can capture the attention of the soldiers, then coming to drill is a training event and not just a thing to do for the month. It can keep people engaged in what we're doing.
Sergeant Lauder, we've only got about a minute left. If you had an opportunity to talk to some young Native Americans growing up, maybe at school or something, and they were asking you about service in the military today, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to do it for all the reasons we've heard before. But what I tell soldiers currently and what I tell soldiers that are potential soldiers that are coming in is the military can be what you make it. If you have civilian aspirations or life aspirations, the military probably has something that can supplement what you want to do when you quote-unquote grow up or what you want to do in the civilian world. Use the military for what it is. Use the benefits. Use the education. Use the experience. And if you want, stick around like me and be another soldier and mentor people coming behind you.
And how many years you been in now?
I've got about 14 years in total.
And how many coming?
I'm probably going to do another 12. I want to make it to 52 and then pull the plug and try to go do something for the tribe.
See if you can get to be a sergeant major before you get out.
That's the goal.
Well, I wish you luck in that goal, and I hope that works for you, and I appreciate you stopping by today to talk to us about Native American Heritage Month on Minnesota Military Radio.
McGreech.
That was Sergeant First Class Lowell Laudert on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll get introduced to the Minnesota Civil Air Patrol. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the Civil Air Patrol in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
As we gather to our own tables on Thanksgiving, let us not only give thanks for the blessings in our own lives, but give thanks to our servicemen and servicewomen. For those who are currently serving, and for those who have served on Thanksgiving's past, assuring us the precious blessing of liberty. John F. Kennedy once said, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them." As we return to our daily lives, let us live by our words and be grateful for all we have. Happy Thanksgiving to all our veterans and their families.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Captain Don Raleigh from the Civil Air Patrol's Anoka County Composite Squadron. Captain, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back here again.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your military background?
Certainly. I joined the Army back in 1984, right out of high school, and I had the privilege of being an infantryman, 11 Bravo, and I was assigned to the 3rd Infantry Regiment, Old Guard, in Washington, D.C., where I was a presidential guard and also a sentinel at the Tomb of the Unknowns, and performed burial operations or burial services in Arlington National Cemetery, where I believe the count was about 1,100 of my fellow brothers and sisters that served. I was able to work in the cemetery and lay them to rest. After that, I accepted a position in the Military Intelligence Corps, where I served on the East German border as a border liaison officer, specifically as a Russian linguist.
So there's been some things in the news lately that you're probably following pretty closely.
Duh.
Duh. Don, can you tell us, how did you get to the Civil Air Patrol?
I attended an air show at the Anoka County Airport, and I saw several members in BDU, or battle dress uniform, the camouflage uniforms, walking around, and I went up to one of them and asked them what they were doing and what part of the military they're in, and it surprised me that the two people that I talked to were 14-year-old girls. And it led me to a bunch of other questions about, you know, what the Civil Air Patrol does, what their mission is, and kind of how to get involved. So I started attending a couple meetings and was able to join the Anoka County Composite Squadron about 6 years ago now.
And on the Civil Air Patrol, I understand, is actually part of the United States Air Force Auxiliary.
That is correct. We were formed in December of 1941, just literally 1 week before the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. We're founded by about 150,000 volunteers who were very concerned about the defense of America. You could say we're America's first homeland security, although there's some debate on that. I like the term.
1941. Your local Anoka County Composite Squadron, how are you organized? Is that a 501c3 Foundation Corporation?
Yes, sir. We were formed as a 501c3, and what that allows us to do is do fundraising activities, and also any donations to our organization are going to be tax deductible.
So you're a nonprofit.
That's correct.
And how many locations do you have around the state, and all of your people are volunteers, I understand?
We have 100% volunteer force. Around the state, we've got 22 different squadrons, so we're scattered literally throughout the state from north to south, east to west. So if somebody is interested in doing some volunteer work and getting into the missions that we do, there's probably a CAP or Civil Air Patrol squadron in your area. We have 17 fixed-wing aircraft. We've got 190 trained ground personnel, meaning we can go out and do disaster recovery or emergency services. And we're really a force multiplier for disasters by having the ability to do airborne assets and also ground assets. We could go on scene, take pictures of a disaster area, work with local sheriffs, work with fire departments. In fact, recently we attended some Department of Natural Resources fire watch training. So we now have across the state of Minnesota about 100 pilots and what are called trained observers. We have about 100 of us that are now trained to go and fly in the outskirts of Minnesota and look for fires that are coming up. This gives us a great opportunity to work with organizations like the Department of Natural Resources.
And Don, you said you've got 17 aircraft. What type of, what are you flying?
Sure. We fly Cessna 172s. We also fly Cessna 182s and Gippsland GA8s. It's amazing. We've got the largest force of civilian aircraft in the world.
So are most of your pilots, did they come out of the service?
It's a really good mix. A lot of them did serve in the Air Force or the Army Aviation, but there's no requirement that you have had to have been in the military in order to join the Civil Air Patrol, although we do organize under the same structure that the Air Force does. So locally, I'm the commander of a squadron, and the squadron reports up to a group. Group goes to the wing. Wing goes to region. Region goes to national. Our national headquarters is down in Maxwell Air Force Base.
And eligibility, who's eligible to join the Civil Air Patrol?
We're really broken up into two sides of the eligibility. On the one side, there's what we call the cadet programs, and you must be 12 years old in order to join, and you can join all the way up until your 18th birthday. You can stay as a cadet up to 21, but you have to have joined before your 18th birthday. On the other side of it is what we call the senior member side, and you have to be over 18 years old. And there literally is no limit. I have one of my members that turns 82 this week.
Is he a pilot?
He is no longer a pilot, no.
Lost his wings. We're speaking with Captain Don Raleigh from the Civil Air Patrol from Anoka County Composite Squadron on Minnesota Military Radio. Don, tell me about your missions. What type of missions do you perform, and who do you work with?
Thanks, Tom. There's three basic missions that the Civil Air Patrol is involved with. We do aerospace education, emergency services, and then what we call cadet programs. On the aerospace education side, we're going to be training adults and cadet members in the community. We have support for educational institutions, so we'll go into schools and actually help them with their curriculum as far as aerospace education is concerned. We also offer grants towards college credits and scholarships to train youth and adults on how to fly. On the emergency services side, we are responsible for about 90% of the inland search and rescue in the United States, and we're tasked through the United States Air Force Search and Rescue Coordination Center and other agencies like FEMA or the National Guard, organizations like that. We are credited with saving about 80 lives per year. What that means is when you go out on a search and rescue mission, on average per year, we're credited with 80 lives. In, I believe it was 2010, we had over 100 saves or life-saving that we were able to do. We also can do some transport missions, which is very interesting. So let's say that there's the inability for the commercial airlines to transport blood or body tissues. We're able to perform that mission as well. We also have some counter-drug missions that we do and a few other things that once you're involved in the program, you can learn more about. The final one is our cadet programs. We've got about 25,000 members that are aged 12 years old to 20 years old. We do after-school programs. We do aerospace education programs both at the squadron and in the schools. And what's really important for youth that are interested in joining the military, if they get into our program and they get up to what's called second lieutenant or what we call the Billy Mitchell Award, they can actually join the Air Force or the Army at a higher rank than if they had just gone in with no training beforehand.
Don, we just got about a minute left. If some of our listeners are interested in joining the Civil Air Patrol, how do they start?
Sure. You can find us on the web at mncap.org. You can also visit my squadron's website, which is anokacap.com. There's a great number of opportunities for both adult and cadet members, so I'd encourage the listeners to check out the Civil Air Patrol.
And we'll have links to those places to find out information about Civil Air Patrol on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page. Don, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts about Civil Air Patrol?
Tom, I love the fact that you're serving our veterans, and I love the fact that you're making a difference in our communities. One of the things I'd say is if you are a veteran and you'd like to get back in uniform and get back to serving your country and your community, we offer a lot of opportunities.
Sounds like you're well organized, and it looks like you're having a good time, Don.
Yes, sir, we are.
Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Captain Don Raleigh from the Civil Air Patrol's Anoka County Composite Squadron on Minnesota Military Radio.
That was Don Raleigh, a captain from the Minnesota Civil Air Patrol on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to hear from Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is a regular guest on Minnesota Military Radio from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Good to have you in the studio today on what's been a real nice fall. No snow yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming, isn't it?
It is.
So we want to talk about the Minnesota Patriot Guard and your missions. And for some of the folks that may not have heard us, can you tell us who makes up the Minnesota Patriot Guard and what's your mission? What do you do?
Well, the Minnesota Patriot Guard is made up of a diverse group of people from all walks of life. They don't come from any specific military organization. In fact, only about 50% of our members are actually from the military. The rest are civilians. They just all have the immense heartfelt feeling for what the military does for us.
So contrary to what a lot of people think, it's not just a bunch of old Vietnam veterans that ride motorcycles.
It's not. In fact, we don't all even ride motorcycles. In fact, as you were just relating to, the fall's just about catching up to us, and we're all going to be in cages for a while.
Now, the mission of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, how many riders do you have, and how are they divided up across the state?
Well, we have the state divided up into 20 sectors, and each sector has it's a geographical area, and everybody in that sector then can join in and go to a mission. And a mission is what we call when we're invited to a funeral or a welcome home or a one of the deployments, you know, or anything that the families request of us.
And how do you become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Actually, all you have to do is go to our website, which is mnpatriotguard.org. And over on the left side, it says join us. And you sign up on that, and it puts you on an email list. We'll never call you on the phone. It puts you on an email list, and we just keep you informed of what's going on in the Minnesota Patriot Guard in your area. And then once a week, we send out a statewide newsletter that just kind of says this is what's going on, and you can pick and choose what you can do.
And show up when and where you can.
Well, yes,
and
absolutely.
There'll always be a ride captain there that'll make sure everybody knows what to do and how to do it and where to stand.
Yes.
Now, if one of our Minnesota families loses a veteran and they'd like to have the Minnesota Patriot Guard present at the funeral, how do they go about that?
The same thing. You can just go to our webpage, and over on the left side it says request the Patriot Guard. And the only thing we really, really need, and that's it needs to be a family member. Friends,
so can't be a friend of a family.
No,
or something
sometimes
like that.
Sometimes friends have good intentions, but the family really didn't want that. So we don't want to be an uninvited guest. We always want to be an invited guest. If we're an uninvited guest, that gets us right back into why the Patriot Guard started, because uninvited guests were showing up at military funerals.
And the Patriot Guard showed up to get between the uninvited guests and the families to shelter them from any of that type of harassment.
Yes, we didn't want the families to be to have to see or hear or whatever those other groups were chanting or saying or holding posters up. So,
and you're actually a nationwide organization.
We are.
And then we're here in Minnesota. It's mnpatriotguard.org.
Yes.
So go check out that website. If you've got a good heart and a flag and a pole, you can join. It's easy to do. And Tim, walk us through a typical funeral. What happens from the family standpoint? What happens from the rider standpoint?
From the family standpoint, basically they just tell us when and where, And our ride captains they'll scope out the area. They'll figure out what's going on. You know, it's the important things like where's the restroom, you know. And once the family requests us, they really don't have to do anything more. We'll take care of all the rest of it. There's times when we, you know, have to be at a church. Well, we'll contact the church, make sure that we're not in the way of their parking, and we'll find a place to park our people so they're not in the way of the families or the church's doings. That's the way it works and everywhere. We take care of all the details after the family invites us.
So my experience with this was when a family member who was a Vietnam veteran died, my family invited the Minnesota Patriot Guard to come down. It was a cold January day. And outside the church, we lined both sides of the entrance. And I think you had, there were probably 24 or 25 riders there that day. And they were all dressed warmly. They all had on their vests. They all had on caps. I think they all wore dark glasses, and I think I know why. And it's overwhelming to see that sign of respect with all the flags and all the riders and all the guests that came to the funeral and went from the funeral. Walked right down the line. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's an honor for us to be able to do that. It's an honor for us to show appreciation for what our military has done for us, and they've done a lot more than people think.
We're speaking with Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Tim, I want to talk a little bit about 2016. We're coming to the end of another year, and as I recall, most years you go on about 500 missions.
Yep.
You have a big fundraising event called the Patriot Ride.
Yes.
And you donate to many charitable organizations.
We do.
How was 2016?
2016 was good. You know, every year it gets better. This year, the fundraiser we did, we had 4,200 motorcyclists there, and we raised a bunch of money that we were able to give out to a lot of different organizations. Patriot Guard itself uses very little money. You know, we have a bunch of other people that need it, so that's where we go. Everybody that comes to a mission is self-sufficient. They bring in their own water, they bring in their own food, whatever. We don't want to impose on anything. We're only there just to show that honor, dignity, and respect for our fallen heroes.
So for all our listeners out there, if you are inclined to help honor our veterans when they die or to help say goodbye to our troops as they deploy or welcome them home, or even just to go to visit the veterans' homes and play a little bingo or do those kind of things, all you have to do is go to mnpatriotguard.org and click on it to sign up, and you'll get this monthly listing of what's going on. And if you're able to go, go. You really don't know how many people are going to show up at each event.
We don't.
But they keep showing up.
They show up.
And sometimes they show up in big numbers, don't
they? Big numbers.
So, Tim, we just got a couple minutes left. What are you expecting for 2017?
We're looking for about the same. We don't do a lot of outreach. We've got our little what we do. And we're very adamant on just staying with what we do. There's a lot of other groups that do other things. We do this part.
Are you going to have another Patriot Ride?
We will.
How many motorcycles were at the Patriot Ride in 2016? What do you think?
4,200. Well, there's 4,200 people. I would say there's probably about 3,900 motorcycles.
And if you've never heard hundreds of motorcycles start up all at once, you've got to go see this. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, I don't know if I told you that, but the ride left the airport, and the ride's only 50 miles, but when we came back, we just missed the tail end of the ride leaving the airport when the beginning started to get there.
And you're holding that these days up at the Anoka County Airport.
We are.
All right, and we have you back on the show every 4 weeks, but we'll have you and the leaders of the Patriot Guard on the show a month or two before that happens next year, and we'll tell all of our listeners how they can attend that. It's a great family day. You've got some food, you've got entertainment, you get to see all those motorcycles, and you finally had a day with some good weather this year.
Perfect weather.
It's about time, Tim. Well, we've just got about a minute left, Tim. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
Yeah, just that we can always have people out on the flag line helping us. That we just love having new people show up, and uh, the good thing about it is once you do it, it's you're hooked. You get the feeling of what really happens. You get to see the families of when people are being welcomed home from their mission. You sit there and see all those families coming in and see them rejoin each other, and it's just an awesome feeling. That's the reason we wear those sunglasses.
I understand, Tim. But Tim, you and your leadership and your writers are doing a fabulous job. I hope you can keep it up for many years to come. And thanks for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have one message today. The Homeless Veterans Registry works by connecting federal, state, county, and nonprofit partners in a shared goal of providing housing and services to veterans and their families. Once a veteran is in the registry, these partners work together in a case management approach to create successful and sustainable housing solutions. Veterans can join the registry directly or be referred. Anyone who knows of a homeless veteran is encouraged to call 1-888-LINK-VET. That's 1-888-LINK-VET. Or visit the registry webpage at minnesotaveteran.org. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Anthony Pike, Sergeant First Class Lowell Laudert, Don Raleigh, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelleto, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get a report from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on veterans and the flu and wrap up our series on Native Americans serving in the military. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'd like to wish all of our listeners a happy Thanksgiving and a reminder to please remember all of our troops deployed and unable to join us for this year. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.